Hey, as we get started, let's just ask God to bless this time that he has given us together. Father, we are here because we want to hear from you. We're here this morning because we want to meet with you. We're here this morning because at some point in our lives, we figured out that there's so many ways that life is just too big. And we found out that while you've created us as amazing and wonderful creations, you never intended for us to go through this life on our own. You never intended for us to go through this life even with others like us. You intended for us to love others, to be in fellowship and be in community, but also to be in community with you. So we're here this morning because you've made that offer, and we've accepted, we've received that gift. We've reached out and in all the awareness we could muster, just said, yeah, that makes sense. So Father, meet us here. Meet us here with your Holy Spirit. Meet us here in the reality of just your Son Jesus and all that he has done, all that he is, all that he continues to be in our lives. And Father, meet us here as our Father in heaven, the one who loves us, cares for us, watches over us, provides for us, even in ways that we don't even comprehend. Father, we give you this time. We give you our eyes, our ears, our hearts, that you might speak to us, that we might go from this place changed, different than when we came in. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We are going to be reading from Romans chapter 8. And if you don't know Romans chapter 8, this is a great passage to just get to know, to kind of have tucked away. Passage that reminds us of what we talked about last week. We talked about how God has spoken certain things into our lives, and in speaking those things into our lives, he has spoken this blessing into us. It comes with not just words of encouragement, but really it comes with power. Power to change what is. Power to change what sometimes seems to be the limits of what is possible. And this is one of those passages where we hear very clearly the blessing of God that he has spoken into our lives. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 39. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and that these whom he predestined, he also called, and these whom he called, he also justified, and these whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is it who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? And who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. So who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How many of you guys have ever participated in a good old-fashioned tug of war? Anybody? You know, actually, hold your hands up. I want to see this. So that's actually more than I maybe suspected that would be. I don't know why, but it seems that tug of wars have kind of fallen out of favor in recent days. You know, I remember when I was in school, tug of war was like a regular part of gym class. Do you remember that? You go into gym and you see this huge thick rope laying there. You're going, oh, okay, tug of war. You know, it's tug of war day. We'd go to a church picnic and somebody'd always have like this. Don't know why. Didn't ask, but they had this big old huge rope coiled up in the back of their car. Hey, I got a rope. Let's have a tug of war, right? And so you have a tug of war. I remember, you know, that was a regular part of just things you'd show up to. I don't know if you guys knew this, but back in 1904, the United States teams swept the medals in the Summer Olympics. Gold, silver, and bronze in the tug of war, 1904. It was an Olympic event for five Olympics through 1920, the tug of war. I mean, they were must have been desperate for something to compete in, huh? So the first tug of war I remember being in, it was set up over a mud pit, which seemed to be kind of the thing to do back then. And the idea was that the losing team would get pulled into the mud and get covered with mud, and everybody'd laugh, and it would be funny. But in fact, what happened was we let go. Because when we walked in and we saw that vast disparity between the size of the opponents and our own size, we said, you know, this isn't going to go well. Before we ever started, we said, okay, we didn't even talk about it. But we had this plan, okay, when they start pulling, we let go. And we did. I don't think anybody actually got muddy the whole day because it was like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So, you know, the planners were disappointed. But tug of war, right? Now, some of you guys, I noticed you didn't raise your hand because tug of war is not a thing anymore. We don't always do that. Not everybody gets to participate in that. But second question, how many of you have ever felt like you're actually the rope in a tug of war, right? And everybody could raise your hands there. Whether it's like relationally, right, where there's somebody that you love, but maybe friends or family, they're not so convinced about it, and you're going, I don't know. You're feeling pulled back and forth. Maybe it's between, you have two opportunities in front of you, maybe for a job, maybe a career path, maybe a school that you're looking into, and you're going, I don't know, and you're feeling pulled, right? Maybe it's between, I was thinking of this one. This is, you know, we're not there yet, but it's starting to fire up, but, oh, we jumped the gun. Jumped the gun. I was going to say, maybe it's between, you know, sports teams. Maybe you're choosing, decide who to root for between, like, maybe the Patriots or another amazing team, right? Now, this isn't a problem for me. I know who I'm rooting for. I just thought maybe some of you guys were having some of those struggles, you know, and you have, I don't know which way to go. You know, I think that as those who follow Jesus, as those who are trying to live out our faith in a meaningful way in this world, there are many times that we feel like we're caught, that we're caught in this tug of war. We're pulled from one side and to the other. There are times that we feel that maybe it's a pull between what we know we should be doing, that thing we talked about last week about how we know who we are called to be, who we ought to be, but then there are those things that other people are calling us to be, that maybe this world that we feel pressure to be something other than what we know that Jesus is calling us to be. I know there are times that we find these opportunities, we have opportunities to do something that we know in our heart would reflect God's heart, would reflect his compassion. But at the same time, we know it's going to cost us something, right? And you feel that tug. And then sometimes even added on to that, you know there's something else you could be pursuing with those same resources or that same energy, and it would actually get you something that you know that you really would like for yourself. And we feel that tug. And so we find that we are often in these tug of wars. You guys, we've been looking at this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's this account where Jesus feeds this massive group of people with just five loaves and two fish. And what we've seen is that in that time, that what Jesus did with the bread and with the fish, how he took it and he broke it, he does the same types of things in our lives. So we've seen this process of he gathers and then he blesses and then he breaks and then he sends. And we find that he didn't only do that with those elements, but he also does that in a sense in our lives. And so last week we were looking at blessing. We found that just before that kind of breaking piece, what he did was he blessed the bread, and he spoke into the bread. He called forth out of the bread, kind of saying, be the bread that you were created to be. And he does that in us as well. And in that blessing, we find that we are told and we are empowered to be who we are truly in Christ, who we are becoming in Christ, who we ought to be in Christ because who we have been made to be, who we have been designed to be. And that's what a blessing is. It speaks all that into us and it empowers us to become that. But isn't that where the tug of war starts coming in, right? Because we hear who we ought to be, who we're called to be, who we are, who God has made us to be. We hear that, and that doesn't always line up with how we maybe have envisioned ourselves and what we hope for ourselves to become, right? We hear what God is calling us to do and how he's calling us to live, and that doesn't always line up with what we maybe had as a path for ourselves. And that's where that tug of war starts setting in. For example, we all want to do well in life, right? We all want to have security and safety and be able to take care of those we're responsible for. And so in a sense, we want to prosper, but we don't always like to hear the path that God has laid out for if you want to be successful in life, if you want to find your needs met, what's that pathway? Well, we look at Luke 38 and he says, this is how God takes care of us. Give. Give and it will be given to you. And in the same measure, poured into your lap in an honest measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, for by the same measure, the standard of measure that you have, by your standard of measure, it will be measured out to you. Well, that presents a tug of war, right? Because we have in our minds that the best way to kind of gain this protection, this safety, this place of prosperity and abundance is really work hard, earn what you got, and hang on to it. And here God says, no, give and you'll find that it's given to you. We all want to be forgiven. We all want God's forgiveness, but we have a hard time sometimes with hearing the words of how he says, that what is that pathway to finding and to experiencing that forgiveness? And Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we don't necessarily like what he says in Matthew 5:7, where he says, blessed are the ones who are merciful because they will receive mercy. Because I know there are times that I want to hang on to that grudge. They don't deserve to have my forgiveness right now. In fact, I would like to hold on to the ability to dole out retribution and revenge to those that I feel are deserve it, right? Amen? Do I hear an amen? Anyway, right? And that presents that tug of war because we find out, we hear from God the blessing, the word of what we're called to be, but we're stretched then in between because we have this other thing tugging on us on the other side. So it begins in that point. It begins in that place of blessing where God speaks into us who we are. But man, when we see it really come alive, is in the next phase, in that place where he starts breaking things, where God starts breaking. In the feeding of the 5,000, think about when did the miracle actually happen? In which of these phases did the miracle actually happen? In which of these phases did the disciples' faith really start being tested? In which of these phases did the disciples' faith really grow as well? Because that's what we'd like to, we'd like to get to that kind of growth part. But was it in the gathering? Not really. I mean, we can pull stuff together without much faith. There's not a whole lot of testing that goes on there, right? They gather their stuff together and they find out, what they had. And we do that all the time. God says, hey, pull it together and see what you got. See what I have to work with. And they pull it together and think about what they got. There's not a whole lot of faith there because they just come and, can you imagine what they're thinking at that point? Well, we just got 5 loaves, 2 fish. I guess, this plan's a dud. We'll just have to have lunch, huh, right? Jesus is going, no, I got other plans. You pull it together, you go, hey, all we got is 5 loaves, 2 fish, so I guess I can take my loaf of bread back, right, Jesus, right? I can just go home now? So there's not a whole lot of testing going on there. How about the blessing part? Jesus says, no, let me bless it. Let me bless the bread and the fish. So Jesus you know, prays the blessing over and speaks the blessing into the bread and the fish? Is there a whole lot going on there? No. Is there a whole lot of testing of faith that goes on there? No, isn't. I mean, at that point, Jesus speaks, and there's a lot of power being shifted. He speaks into it, empowers it to become more than anybody would expect. But where do we see that blessing become visible, that blessing, that power really become apparent, unavoidable? It's when he starts to break it, right? Isn't it when he starts taking the bread, he takes the stuff that they had, he takes the little that they had, they thought they had left, and he starts breaking off a piece and giving it away, and breaking off a piece and giving it away, and breaking off a piece and giving it away? Isn't that when the tug of war really starts setting in for the disciples? They're going, hey, Jesus, wait, hold on a second. All right, we have 5 loaves, 2 fish. If you keep giving this away, what are we going to eat? Isn't that when the pull starts happening? Isn't that when it starts happening with us as well? Isn't that when our faith is actually tested? Is when God starts giving away the little that we thought we had left? Isn't it also, though, in that story, isn't that when their faith really grew? And I don't know, I always wonder, when did it happen, you know? Did he get down to like the last loaf? And that's when they start looking in and start seeing this thing's not running out, right? Was it maybe the first loaf stretched a long time and they go, hey, I think we're going to be okay. These loaves are really good, you know? What happened? But at what point did they look down and they realized, wow, what is going on here? And their faith grows. How about at the end when they go and he says, hey, go pick up the pieces, and they find out they have more at the end than what they started with? They go, how in the world did that happen? That's when they see the power of the blessing that was spoken in. But it was only because Jesus would take a piece and he'd hand it out and he'd give it away. He'd take a piece and he'd hand it out and he'd give it away, and it was gone. Isn't that the way that our struggles are? In the same way, the struggles of faith and of trust that we have with God, isn't it when he asks us to do something hard? Isn't it when he asks us to sacrifice something where we don't think we have a whole lot left? Where we say, really, you're going to ask me to give away the last of what I have? Isn't that also where we start seeing the miracle, the amazing thing that God has spoken into us? Isn't that where it starts showing up? In James 1:1-4, this is Jesus' brother, James. And he's writing this down to early believers, and he says, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter, and he says various trials, but I felt this was appropriate. When you encounter various tug of wars in your life, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Listen to this. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. That you might get to the end of this test and find out that you are not left without anything. Instead, you'll find out that you actually have more at the end of it than when you started. So what's that test of faith that he's talking about? What is this faith that James is talking about? Isn't it this? In those times when God asks us to do something that costs us something, when he asks us to sacrifice that last little bit that we think that we have, isn't it in those times that our faith in God, and whatever that thing is, it may be that he asks you to be generous, or to forgive, or to serve instead of being served, or to be humble instead of being defensive, or to be kind to someone who hasn't been kind to you. And you look at it and you say, how can I give that last piece away? I don't have much, and you're asking me to give that away. Whenever we find ourselves in that kind of a challenge, isn't it then that our faith, our belief, our trust in God, that he can actually do what he said he would do in Romans 8, right, that he was going to make good of everything, isn't it then that faith is tested? As we look and we say, all I got is 5 loaves and 2 fish, and you want me, really, we're going to break this up and hand it out? Isn't it then that faith, I thought you said you were going to do good in every situation, that you're going to take everything and make it good. It's in those times that it's tested, like James is talking about. It's in that tug of war, and we feel it in our lives too. It's our dignity, our rights, our resources, and all of a sudden, they seem to be handed out to those who don't deserve them, to those who haven't worked for it, to those who don't value it. And we're going, really, God, to them? But it's in those times that our faith is tested, the faith that, well, is God really, is he still good? Is he still going to be able to make good even out of this? Let me ask you something. The real question that comes up is this. Are we willing to trust God's goodness when we actually need to trust God's goodness? Because that's really the, right? That's the challenge. It's easy to trust God's goodness when things are good, when we got enough bread to feed everybody, or if we're hanging out with people that already brought their lunch, that's easy. Oh, isn't God good? Yeah, what'd he bless you with? Oh, I got a bologna sandwich. Oh, bless God, right? But are we willing to trust God and trust his goodness when we really have to trust God's goodness? Because that's where our faith is tested. That's where our faith grows. It goes the same if we're dealing with sickness or struggle or loss or loneliness. Do we believe that God is still good and he will make good of this challenge as well? That's the tug of war. I want you to think about this. As I was writing this, I realized it is only in the times of breaking in our lives that we see the blessing that God has spoken over our lives made obvious. Amen? It's only in the times of breaking in our lives that we see that blessing of God that he's spoken into and over our lives made clearly visible and obvious. It's only then that we see God doing the impossible. And that's tough. I mean, I know that some of you guys are facing stuff right now. You guys are in the middle of it. In fact, we're always facing something. We're always challenged with something. We always have some kind of a struggle, but some of you guys are really in the thick of it. And it is hard to say, as you're standing in that moment, to say, okay, God, then take even the last bit that I have. Because I trust that you're good and that you will make good of everything for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Think about it, though, in our story. If Jesus would have merely taken the bread, right, and he blesses it, right, and he speaks power into it. I mean, this bread has potential to feed tens of thousands of people now, right? And he speaks that blessing into it, and then he said, amen. And then he sent everybody home. Didn't break the bread at all. No one would have seen the power of that blessing, would they? Right? In the same way, God has spoken a blessing over your life. We heard it. We heard it ring through those words in Romans 8, didn't we? Listen to these words that he's spoken into and over your lives. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That is a blessing. It is a blessing that he said he is for us. God is for us. Who can be against us? God didn't even hold back giving us his beloved son, but delivered him over to death for our salvation, for our benefit. So how will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? This is a blessing that God has spoken over your life. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because that is a blessing that God has spoken over your life that came with power, that he said, these things are absolutely true, and I will show them to be true in your life. But when is the power of that blessing seen most clearly. It's in the times that God seems to be dividing what little you have and giving it away, and giving it away, and giving it away. In those times when our faith is actually tested, and even worse is when he asks you, isn't this worse? When he asks you to actually participate with him and take the little that you have and divide it up and give it away, and give it away. Like he did with the disciples, right? No, come help me give the last that we have away, right? And God asks us to participate with him. That's when we feel the tug of war that we read about in James. That's when we are tested to whether we really trust God with the promises that he's spoken in places like Romans 8. This is where this whole series really came to. Because the question becomes, you know, multivision is about taking multiplication and smashing it together with this thing of division. And the question that comes up is, am I really going to see multiplication in the midst of all this division, right? Are we really going to see that? Because that's what God has promised. Today, I know that some of you guys are facing challenges like that. You're in that place right now. It may be that God is asking you to make a sacrifice somehow. It may be that God is asking you to sacrifice and to actively do good for someone who has treated you very poorly for years, for decades. And he's challenging you like he did when he's talking about the Good Samaritan. And he talks about, here's this Samaritan man. The Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They would walk completely around their country, adding hundreds of miles to their journeys just to avoid walking through Samaria. They hated, they despised, they treated them terribly. And Jesus says, here's this Samaritan man. He's walking down the highway, he sees a Jewish man beat up on the side of the road, and without thinking, compelled by what? Compelled by the compassion of God, he gave away even what he had for someone who despised him. Maybe that's your challenge today. Maybe it's to serve someone graciously who is just misusing their authority in your life. Maybe it's a supervisor. Maybe it's you feel like, you know, the government, or maybe it's, you know, the city or somebody. You know, they're coming down on you. They're not giving you a chance. They have the authority not to, and so they're not. But you listen to the words of Jesus where he talks about, well, go that extra mile then. If the soldier says, hey, carry my pack this mile, then offer to go that extra mile for them. Maybe that's a challenge. Maybe it's giving generously like Luke 6 talked about, giving to some need or to some person or to some cause instead of holding back because you fear that you won't have enough at the end of the day for yourself. Maybe it's a challenge of confessing that you need somebody else's help. You guys, every Sunday we have those who are here, up here and down in the chapel, that are here to pray with you and to pray for you. And I know that every week we have people that come into this place that have stuff going on in their lives that is tearing them up and who walk out of this place without taking advantage of that. Why? Because we think we have to hold on to the last shreds of dignity that we have left instead of telling somebody, you know what, I need you to pray for me. Maybe that's your challenge. Maybe that's that place where you give away that last little piece of what you think you had, and that's where God shows the blessing that he has spoken over your life, that he is going to do good with everything. Maybe it's admitting that you were wrong or at fault, and you have to do it to somebody that you're pretty convinced is going to hold it over your head the rest of your life, right? It may be that you're facing a struggle. It may be something completely different. It may be that you're in a time of sickness. It may be that you're in a relational breakdown with either someone, maybe within your family. It may be at work. It may be that you're facing this series of challenges that have just blown up in your face as you've walked along, and all of a sudden you're in this horrible place. But whenever it is that God is asking you to take the last of what you think you have, he says, this is when we start breaking this up and giving it away. This is when the miracle happens. This is when the power of the blessing that I've spoken over your life, this is when it's going to show up. James asks us in that time, he says, so will you? These are the things that we got to take with us. Will we be the ones who do this? Will we see these times of breaking, these times of division, will we see them through the eyes of faith instead of through fear, instead of through just the eyes that we have in our head and just counting the numbers? Will we see it through the eyes of faith and say, you know what? God has spoken some things. These things are far more powerful than anything that could come against them. There is nothing that will separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ. Second is this. During those times, will we count it as joy? Knowing that the testing of our faith will produce the endurance in our faith, and that endurance will have its perfect result, so at the end we will find we are lacking in nothing. Amen? But can we go through that then, counting it as joy? It's a lot easier to walk through, not avoiding it, not like out of our mind in denial. It's not about that, but just saying, no, there is good that's going to come. I know. And so I joyfully grab on, I lean into this challenge, this test. And then finally, when we go into these things and when we see them, will we expect that miracle? And not just expect it, not just like, God, you got to give me a miracle. No. It's like, I know. I know because God said, you know, that he asked for this. I'm giving it. He blessed it. He's blessed my life. I know there's a miracle coming. I know it's coming. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's coming. I know because God has said he's going to make himself and his word known through me. And you guys, that is a huge challenge, isn't it? Amen? You guys are very sober at this point. One thing I remember about tug of wars is they were never easy, right? They were never easy for anybody involved. I remember you'd get rope burns, you'd get the splinters and the blisters, and I remember falling over and getting kicked in the head every once in a while by the person behind me. And, they were never easy. But I can't imagine what it would have been like to be the rope. I mean, that'd be the worst. But that's kind of where we are in these things. But God's promise is this. When we find ourselves in those tug of wars of which way do I go, God's promise is this, is that the times of breaking, the times that seem to be the most dire in our lives, when he asks us for that last little bit that we think we have left, he says those will be times of his greatest power, and those will turn into the times of the greatest celebration. It's his promise. So he says, lean into him with faith, lean into him with joy, lean into him with expectation. Because he has always promised he will never leave us, he will always be showing up. Amen? This morning, we have the opportunity.